Today in our scriptures, we're going to be jumping from 1 Samuel chapter 1 over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. So you might want to mark them because we're going to flip-flop back and forth as we look at that today. And I've entitled today's message, She is Special. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started this morning. Our gracious Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us, that we gather together in this place and worship you. We thank you today for the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for bringing us together as a family here. We thank you, Father, for being in our presence even right now. We thank you for this special day, Father, at a time when we could, Father, just say thank you and show gratitude and appreciation to our mothers and our grandmothers today. But Father, as we begin to unfold your word today, I pray, Father, not only will it encourage the ladies that are here today, but also everyone else that is here. I pray that it will challenge us to show compassion and love and concern for those that have taken such good care of us. Father, we'd ask your blessing now in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. I read about a teacher who wanted to prepare her children for making a Mother's Day card. She thought she would ask them a few questions that would cause them to appreciate their moms. The hope was that when it came time to write inside the card, that they would find something sweet to say about their mothers. So the first question that was asked was this: what are some of the ingredients that mothers are made of? Well, Debbie, who was age 5, said this: God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice. And one dab of mean. Jeffrey, who was age 6, said this: they had to get their start from men's bones. And then they most likely used string and duct tape. So he asked our students, you know, why do you love your mom? And Aiden said, I love my mom because she let me get a dog and then she lets me sleep with it. And I hope that she lives forever. Brianna said this. She said, my mother is the best mother in the world. She lets me share the chocolates that sit on the coffee table. She reads to me and we sit on the porch and swing together. But Jonathan, he said this. He was 8. He said, my mom, nice, beautiful, and pretty as a butterfly. That's my mom. Now, don't get this next one. Clever as a whale. warm as fuzzy bear. That's my mom. Soft as a pillow. She laughs like an angel. That's my mom. Caring, cool, clever. She's the best. That's my mom. So there were some things that the school kids said about their mom. The other night we was watching the news and David Mueller was out. He was asking the kids about their Mother's Day. Now, most of the kids didn't realize Sunday was Mother's Day. But when he asked the little kids, they were aging from 8 to 10, who was the most important person in the world, they said, my mom. My mom. And he was asking them to give us just one word that describes your mom. And we heard the words loving and caring and all of those things, our moms. Without a doubt, mothers can be very influential in our lives. The influence of education, politics, peers are all lacking when compared to the influence of a mom. Of all the roles assigned on earth, few people are as important. Four roles, I should say, are as important as that of a mother. I read these words and said, often people do not realize that a mother's love, concern, and teaching are far more influential on people than anything else. So, never underestimate the power of a mother's love. And so today, I just want to take some time and share with you some thoughts about mothers. First thing, if you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 11. A godly mother spends time on her knees. She is known as a lady of prayer. Now we're introduced to Hannah in this chapter. Verse 11 from chapter 1 says, then she made a vow and said, O Lord, if you will Indeed, look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. Then I will give unto the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now, Hannah in this passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel is that she was a lady, a godly lady, a lady of faith, and a lady that was known for her prayer. She's praying here for a son. She didn't have any children. She had a desire to have a son, and she prays for this son even before he was born. She's bearing her heart. If we were to read the whole chapter, you see that she bears her heart before the Lord, asking him not only to give her a son, but she makes a vow to God that if you will give me this son, I'm going to give him back to you. And the Bible tells us, if we had time to read the whole passage, that after she prayed, she prayed in submission to the will of the Lord, that she got up from that prayer and she went home believing that God would answer the prayer. We know that she was believing that God would answer the prayer because the Bible tells us that her bitterness was gone, her inner burden was eased, and there was a change in her renewed appetite and brightened expression on her face because she was a lady of prayer and asked God, give me a son and I will give him back to you. A lady of prayer. The Bible tells us, moms, to ask. But we must ask in accordance to the will of the Lord, and it will be granted unto us. And she was praying for a son, but she was also praying in accordance to the will of the Lord. Luke 11:9 says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. God did hear the prayer of Hannah, and he did give her a son by the name of Samuel. And of course, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel is about the great prophet, Samuel. And this was the young man. This was the child that she prayed for. And we'll see in a little later there that God not only blessed her with a son by the name of Samuel, but he gave her 5 more children. We need to thank God for mothers who pray for their children, no matter how old they are. One of the greatest things you can do for your children, one of the greatest things that you can do for your grandchildren is to pray for them. I read a little story about Susanna Wesley, who bore 17 children, 17. And she said this about praying for her children. She said, I pray in front of them, I prayed behind their backs, I prayed for their salvation, and I prayed for their closeness to God. Thank God for mothers that pray. I thank God that I had a mother that would pray. 2 days ago, I turned 70. But you know, the day that I was born, the doctor came in and told my mom, they said, go home. He's got a heart problem. He'll never come home. He'll never make it out of the hospital. She said, no, I'm going to pray for him. But the doctor was wrong. I turned 70, so I'm still here. When I was about 23 years of age, unsaved, I was working on my race car. And I went to light the wood stove at the shop where we had, and it blew up in my face. When it did that, I lost all the skin on my arms. I was standing there, the skin was just piling up on the floor. Lost the hair on my head and burnt my face. And I remember in the hospital, I couldn't see. And I remember the doctor saying, Dr. Kim telling my mother, she said, we don't know if he'll be able to see. And we won't know that till tomorrow morning, He'll probably have to have several operations for skin graft and stuff like that. I remember her saying that. I remember this, my mom saying, no, he'll be fine. He'll see in the morning. And this is what she said. Now, I wasn't a Christian then. She said, God has something special for my son, and he will see tomorrow morning. We're going to pray. Well, I can see. And I've never had any skin grafting done. I got a couple little scars on my arm. Of course, I put up with the smell of that burnness for quite a while, But I thank God that my mother prayed for me the day I was born when they said there was no hope. I thank God that my mother prayed for me when I laid in that hospital room and I couldn't see. And she believed that God had something special for me. I thank God for her that prayed for me. I thank God for my wife who prays for our children and our grandchildren, not once in a while, but every day. And I'm saying to you today, mothers, never give up praying for your children. For a godly mother spends time on her knees. She knows, she is known as a lady of prayer. But not only is a mother known as a lady of prayer, but she's also known as a lady of faith. If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you've marked that, I'm going to read one verse to you. Paul is speaking to young Timothy. He's writing this letter to him. And in verse 5, he says, When I call to remembrance, that here it is, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. You see, a godly mother is known for her faith. Lois and Eunice, they lived their faith. And young Timothy was influenced by their faith. Their faith was genuine, the Bible says here. They were consistent in their faith. In other words, that word genuine there in verse number 5 means this, without hypocrisy. And so as young Timothy's growing up, he's looking at his mother and he's looking at his grandmother, and he sees that they're the same at home. So they're the same in the workplace. They're the same in the marketplace. Wherever he saw his mother and his grandmother, he saw them with genuine faith. They lived their faith day in and day out. And to live by faith means, ladies, that God is the most important thing in your life. And so Paul was encouraging young Timothy to remember those valuable lessons that he had learned at the feet of his mother. Those valuable lessons he had learned at the feet of his grandmother. He was encouraging Timothy to remember the consistency, their consistency, how they would not compromise their standards. And so Lois and Eunice showed Timothy by word and by example what it means to live authentic faith, a faith from which hypocrisy is totally absent. It's the real thing. It's the genuine thing. It's the sincere things. What greater tribute could be given to any mother or grandmother today on this Mother's Day other than to say, you gave to me authentic faith. I was able to see a mother that prayed for me. And I saw a mother who lived what the Bible says, a mother who was genuine, that demonstrated her faith in front of me. A godly mother is also known for the unending care for her children. I'm going to go back to 1 Samuel again, but chapter 2 this time. For you see, Hannah, she saw the need to take care of the physical needs of her family. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18, it reads, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. And moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." Hannah was a mother who saw the needs of her young son, and the Bible tells us that she would go up to the yearly sacrifice every year, and when she went up there, she brought her son a little coat. If we were to read in chapter 1, we're going to go back to there in a minute, you'll see that when Samuel was a young child, she didn't go up to the yearly sacrifice. She didn't go up to the festival and stuff of that nature. Why? Because she stayed at home and took care of her little son until he was weaned. But then once he became of age, and he was probably around 4 years old, 3 or 4 years old at this time, he went to go and live with Eli because she said she was going to give him to the Lord. But every year she went and tried to take care of his physical needs, bringing him a new coat. Now, we're not told in Scripture if or when she stopped caring for those needs. We're not told when she stopped bringing the coat to her son. But I personally believe that every year that she could, every year that she came to Shiloh, she came and brought something to help with the physical needs of her son Samuel. That's what I believe. And so a godly mother is known for her unending care of her children, his physical needs, and also their spiritual needs. Now I'm going to go back to 2 Timothy again, but this time in chapter 3, I want you to listen to this, chapter 3, verse 14, the spiritual needs of her children. Paul writes this to young Timothy. He says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which you have learned and been assured of, and knowing with what you have learned. You see, Lois and Eunice not only took care of the physical needs of young Timothy, but also they saw the needs to take care of his spiritual needs. They made an eternal difference in young Timothy's life. Why? Because they trained him in the word of the Lord. Now, we do not know how Lois and Eunice came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We do not know. But we know this, that they knew this, that the greatest gift that they could give to Timothy or any of their other children was the opportunity to have eternal life. They knew that one of the most important things, or the most important thing in Timothy's life, was for him to learn the scriptures and to enter into a relationship with the Lord. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, he says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, one to proclaim?" Paul says, you know, how are the children going to know? How are children going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ if no one tells them? In verse 17, Paul of chapter 10, Paul says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord." So Eunice and Lois saw the importance of sharing and teaching young Timothy the word. And it is important to start teaching our children. I was reading some articles about Mother's Day. And this one article, several people had asked a pastor several questions. And one asked this question: when should we start teaching our children about the Lord? Before they're born. You know, teach them. We said, no, in a church where we got saved, there was a lady friend of ours, her and her husband, and she was a nurse that worked in the maternity ward. And she would share with us that, you know, when that baby was born, she would be the first one to grab a hold of it to take it, do whatever they do, you know. But she said, "I would sing 'Jesus Loves You' all the way, all the time." She said, "I wanted that little baby to hear the first things was 'Jesus loves you.'" Well, even her children, but it's so important that we begin to teach the word of the Lord. Now, remember, Lois and Eunice were Jewish ladies, and no doubt remembered God's command that we find all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Listen to what Moses says. "Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandsons, all the days of your life, that you may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it. It may be well with you, and that you might multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised, in a land flowing with milk and honey." Now here it goes. Listen. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them." There it is. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on your frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate." Lois and Eunice were Jewish women, and so no doubt they knew the law. And they knew that Moses had told them that you're supposed to teach your children the word of the Lord. When? When they get ready to go to bed. When? When you're walking down the path with them. When? You know, when you're sitting at the dinner table. When? Whenever you have an opportunity to share something with your children, you should share it with them. Take note, folks. Scripture is God's powerful tool to influence children's lives for good. And as parents and grandparents, we need to be sharing the Word of God with our children. Samuel's preparation for the service for the Lord began with a caring mother. Timothy's preparation for service for the Lord began with a caring mother and grandmother. And folks, we need to be thankful today for mothers that not only care for our physical needs, but also the great importance of our spiritual needs. I wish some of our society would grab a hold of that today. It is important that physical needs be taken care of. But folks, so many times we pull away from the spiritual need. Thank God for mothers and grandmothers that are with us today that see that great need to teach the Word of God to their children and to their grandchildren. Remember this about the Scriptures. You were not given the Scriptures simply to accumulate knowledge. You were given the Scriptures and knowledge of the Scriptures that you might pass them on to someone else. And if our children are surviving this godless world that we live in today, then we must teach them the Word. The only way that our children and grandchildren are going to survive in this world today is for us to teach them the Word of God so that they might be able to govern their lives in accordance to His perfect will. And then I want to say this, a godly mother is known for her love and support of her children, no matter what. I'm going to do something a little strange, but I hope it brings it together. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12. A godly mother is known for her love and support for her children, no matter what. In Acts chapter 12, in verse 12, speaking about Peter, he's been delivered from prison. It says, "And when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where they were gathered together praying." Now, this is the first time we're introduced to a young man by the name of John Mark. He's in his mother's having a prayer meeting at her house for the deliverance of Peter from prison. Now, if you look over at chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "And when they had arrived in Salamis, they preached the word." This is Paul and Barnabas. "They preached the word of God in the synagogues to the Jews, and they also had John as their assistant." Now, John has left home. He's left Jerusalem. He's went to Antioch. He's with Barnabas and Paul as part of the missionary team. Go to verse 13 of chapter 13. It says, "Now when Paul had his party set sail for Patmos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John," hear this, "and John departed from them, returning to Jerusalem." For some reason, John goes home. He says, "I've had enough of this," and he goes home. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 15 and verse 36, it says, "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' And Barnabas was determined to take with them John Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them one who had departed from them and had not gone with them to the work." Now, you might wonder why I read all of that. It's for this reason. John Mark was a young Christian man, raised in a Christian home, and influenced by many. It's believed that the Apostle Peter led John Mark to the Lord. We don't know that to be fact, but it's believed. And here he had the great privilege of going on the first missionary journey with the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. Now, moms, just think about it. Wouldn't you just be popping a button, you know, when you're talking to the ladies at the church or you're at the dinner or whatever, and said, "Oh yeah, did you know my son John Mark? He's with the great evangelist Paul and Barnabas. He's serving the Lord. You know, he's on the very first missionary journey there is." Now, you know how the pride can swell up in a mother when you find yourself. I used to laugh at my mother and say, "Please, Mom, you know, when she moved into the senior place, I'd go visit her and she would introduce me. I'd say, 'Oh, this is my son, Dr. Weigel.'" Greg, okay, you know? But that's, or my other brother was confused. This is my brother, this is Pastor Weigel, my oldest son, you know? Boy, she was just popping with pride, you know? And he had that great privilege, and why he left, I don't know. But can you think of his mother when she just got done bragging at the Sunday luncheon about him being on the missionary journey, and all of a sudden, Mom, I'm home. But you can't be home. I just told everybody what you were doing, you know? You can't be home. Mom, I just couldn't handle it, Mom. Yeah, I just couldn't handle it. I've come home. But then I read that he goes back. When you get to Acts chapter 15, he's no longer in Jerusalem. He's back in Antioch. What was it that caused him to turn around and go back to the mission field? Now, this is speculation. I told the people in Sunday school there was a whole lot of Weigel theology today. So this is Weigel theology. I believe myself that he went back because of the encouragement that he received at home. I really do. I believe that when he come home and he knocked on the door and said, Mom, I'm too young. I just can't handle it. You know, Barnabas used to be in charge. Now Paul's in charge. I can just see his mother praying with him and encouraging him. Don't give up, son. Don't give up. The Lord has something special for you, son. Don't give up. I believe his mother was there encouraging him, probably others in the church. Mark's dad is not mentioned, so it's believed that maybe his father had passed away. I believe his mother was his number one supporter. I really do. And so when that time come, he went back to the mission field. I've said all that for this reason, folks. Mothers, I'm going to let you in on a little clue here. My mother would disagree with me. Your children are not perfect. My mother would disagree, especially about me. Okay, well, my brothers, nah. But anyhow. But as you know, they're not perfect. But you need to be there for them. You need to be there and to encourage them when they fall. Your children will fall. They will trip. They will fall. We need to be ready to encourage them, to help them get back on their feet, to get back on the right path for the Lord. That's what you need to do. You know, I bet you, John, Mark, you know, I bet when you think about it, you know, somebody encouraged John, Mark, and he went back. And we know this from the rest of the scriptures is this, that Mark did go with Barnabas on the next missionary journey without Paul. But when you read the pastoral epistles, you find that Paul had John Mark as his assistant. Remember, he says, and send John, because he is beneficial to me. I need John Mark. And here was a man that people got on for quitting the Lord and all of that because he went home. But God not only used him as a missionary with Barnabas, but also as Paul's great assistant. And he wrote the Gospel of Mark. Somebody must have encouraged him when he failed. And so I believe this. I believe this. A godly mother is known for her love and support of her children, no matter what happens. So don't give up, Mom. Don't give up on them. God has a great purpose for all of our children. He loves all of his children, and they need the love and support that only a mother can give. I had a father. He was a good father, but he was a hard, hard man. He was a hard man. But Mom was always loving. Mom would be the one to put her arm around you and say, it's okay. I told you not to get in trouble. Now get upstairs and get your whipping, you know. So, but never give up on them. And then a mother is known for the sacrifices that she makes. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 24, listen what it says. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullets, one ephah of flour and a skin of wine. This is Hannah taking Samuel up to Eli. And brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slaughtered the bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worship the Lord there. A godly mother is known for the sacrifices that she makes for her children. A mother sacrifices her time, her energy. They go to all the ball games, the events, the youth groups, and all the things that go on. But one of the greatest sacrifices a mother makes is giving her children to the Lord. Now, let me say what I mean by that. Realizing that the Lord might send that child into some very difficult places. I know folks that are missionaries that you can't even write them a letter because if they find out that they're missionaries on the field, they could face death. And when I think about that, I think of the moms that are home knowing that their children are in those difficult areas, but yet they're supported their children and said, "Lord, if this is what you want them to do, then that's fine." Hannah made a vow to God that when Samuel was around 3 years old, that she would give him back to the Lord, and she did. That word lent there or dedicated in your scripture means to give completely, something that cannot be undone. She said, "Lord, here he is. This is my precious gift that you have given to me, Lord. I give him back to you." She sacrificed. She gave that time up. Just think about how hard it was for her. And even Lois and Eunice in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, Lois and Eunice knew all the difficulties that the church was going through. They were aware of the difficulties that Paul and Barnabas were experiencing, how the Gentiles were persecuting them because they weren't having a great sale of idols because of Paul and Barnabas. People were getting saved, and the Jews were persecuting them, trying to keep them from spreading the gospel. They knew exactly all the dangers that young Timothy would be facing if he went with Paul. But as you read the scriptures and you see how Timothy was involved in the church, you realize this, that they encouraged him. And once Timothy left with Paul, Lois and Eunice would have to trust the Lord to take care of him. Just like mothers today that have said, "Lord, here's my child, I give him to you." And now they have to trust the Lord to take care of their child out on the mission field, wherever it might be. Lois and Eunice had done all they could. They knew that they had made a difference in Timothy's life. And when it came time for Paul says, "I want to take Timothy with me. I want to take Timothy with me." He went with the blessings of his mother and his grandmother. Folks, how important that is. Please understand how important it is that when your child is making a decision about the Lord, to encourage that child, whatever it might be. Think of all the other mothers in our Bible. John the Baptist's mother, the apostles' mothers. Mary, the mother of our Lord. All that they went through. All that they sacrificed so that their sons could serve the Lord. In today's world, parents hesitate to encourage their children to consider a life in service of the Lord. That's sad. The modern trend is, well, you know, you can do better by getting a good job and you can tithe it and everything like that. But parents are some parents discourage their children about serving the Lord, and even to discourage children from going to good Christian colleges today. They're just unwilling to sacrifice to give their children to the Lord. Thank God. Thank God for mothers who are willing to sacrifice that which is most precious to them, willing to dedicate that child to the Lord at the time of their birth, to say, "God, you gave me this child, I gave him back to you." I personally see my mother make those sacrifices. When my two brothers decided to go to Bible college, my older brother and then my younger brother was going to go to Bible college, you know, at that time, my dad was just renting out the farm, and my mom started a daycare center in her house. Oh, praise God for you ladies that do that ministry, you know. But she started a daycare in her house, and she kept that daycare going while my older brother was in college. And then when my younger brother went to college, she kept it going there. And she took all of her money and paid for them to go through college. Sacrificed her time. You know, she could have been doing other things, you know, but she was there every day watching these little kiddies, you know. Why? Because she was willing to sacrifice her time to help my two brothers go through Bible college. You see, a godly mother is willing to sacrifice for her children. And so today, it's Mother's Day. We need to give thanks to God for all of our godly mothers and grandmothers here today, and we do. As mothers and grandmothers, fathers and grandfathers, we can make a positive difference in the lives of our children. In fact, you today can make an eternal difference in the life of a child. And so today, we as First Baptist Church want to say thank you. Thank you, moms and grandmoms, for the difference that you have already made. Thank you for your prayers, your genuine faith, your care, your love, and your support, and all the sacrifices you have made and are making even today. My mother is home with the Lord. If she was here today, this is what I would say. Thank you, Mom, for being the priceless gift that the Lord gave to me, sharing the wonderful truth of God with me, for caring for me, for your unending love and support. That's what I would say to my mom. Let's pray.